Let us pray. Gracious God, your church assembles year upon year, century upon century. And we have before us your stories, your words. In each age, the crisis is unique. In each time, your word opens us anew. So we pray that as we walk with you and your risen gift of the word in Christ Jesus, open our ears. Amen. A film from 2010 by Danish director Lars von Trier received rather little attention at the time, but I hear of it more and more now. It's called Melancholia. Some of you no doubt have seen it. In the film, a large globe, far bigger than an asteroid, is appearing in the night sky. It seems more beautiful than the moon, but is it moving closer? Will it fly by? Shall we deny? These are among the subjects, but only one family is regarded, a wealthy family on a sumptuous and elegant estate. Only they and their reaction and denial to what is appearing on the horizon, only they are the subject of the film. It would be too small to say that this film is about global warming. Rather, the film evokes silence for a question that puts its arms out for ultimate urgent questions. How do we meet the news that there is no more normal now? Let it be that big. How do we meet the news that everything will change, that we must change, not our person alone, but our civilization must change? And every relation, every organization, every system within our civilization, how do we meet this news? When the subject is climate change, as it has been here these last Sundays, some of us are wondering, why worry now about something so far off that doesn't touch us where we live? Has the preacher already forgotten about mass incarceration, about stop and frisk, about immigration abuses and the need for education in our community, for healthcare delivery in our community? Has he forgotten? Changed the subject? Others, frankly, just feel overwhelmed by the immensity, like that globe in the sky of von Trier's film. Is this news we can use? It's not, some say. It's not news we can use in the pews. We don't know what we can do. These responses are normal. I have versions of them myself. But I want to note something from our Bible story today, and really dozens of others. Whenever God has something to say to the people in the Bible, God makes a point of presenting God's word personally to the people. And when God's messengers confront the mortals, they are always terrified. You heard it again this morning. Men startled and terrified by the appearance of the risen Lord. But God's purpose in confronting mortals is not shock and awe. They may experience that, but that's not God's purpose, unlike some men's purposes on earth. God wants to say something. And it is our fear in the presence of the word, our fear at the presence of God's truth that keeps us from actually hearing the truth. It is our attachment to what we think is normal, what we think is safe, that causes in those confronting God's word in the Bible to be blind at first to the truth. And so, God's messenger always says, you know what it is, right? Fear not. All through the Old Testament, all through the New, when an angel of God comes, be not afraid. Fear not. God only wants to get through, not to terrify. Jesus takes this confrontation to a new level. He's more direct than any angel. He says, why are you afraid? Forgive the, the interpretation. But why are you frightened? Why are you frightened, he asks. And then he shows them the awful signs in his hands and in his feet, the awful signs which empire and domination have visited in his flesh with malice. And then he shows them that all the intentions of empire and domination to destroy have in God's eye been destroyed. Why are you afraid? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, says the great patriarch Joseph to his evil-minded brothers. Jesus' news is that there is no more normal now. Empire and domination have had no victory now. There is no more normal now. The root of your fear, which kept you from hearing, has no tree growing from it. Fear not. Now everything must change. Now you can meet the news. Brothers and sisters, do not be startled and terrified at the news of global warming. In the strength and courage of the life which God gives you, which is not the life in your body, it is a new life, a spiritual life. In the strength of the life God has given you, you can receive news of what is going on in this world, even as the storms of climate change are rising with the seas. You can see what is with dispassion and clarity. You know, the Bible presents an unflinching civics lesson across all its pages. Here it is, says the Bible. Since the dawn of civilization, empire and domination have marked the face of humanity, marred the face of humanity. Fear not. In these pages, Egypt, then Assyria, then Babylon, then Greece, then Rome have all tramped across the little tiny land of Palestine, subjugating that tiny people in sorrow. Fear not, says the story of God. Empire is all about centralizing power and wealth in fewer and fewer hands. Empire depends on domination. Domination is about wresting power from people by killing and threatening to harm people afraid for their body life. Empire and domination have worked together across all time. And it is not only those at the top who benefit from empire and domination. I benefit from empire and domination. For me, of white skin, my walk through this city is unmolested my teachers throughout my life cared for my mind. Well did they care. They even helped me to see our society critically. Empire and domination have made the gas in my car cheap, the roads smooth, and the price of a banana pennies. Conditions have never forced me to one day of hunger that I did not choose myself. Empire and domination secure conditions like these to enough of the people and obscure the means of changing any of this structure of evil, so that all of the stuff is pretty much nailed down and does not change. Mass incarceration, stop and frisk, abuse of immigrants, ruinous education practices, racist non-delivery of health care, willful wars waged against tiny despots at unmeasurable expense in blood and treasure, banks gambling away the wealth of the nation, corruption of democracy by legalized bribery, and the planet heating up so that Mr. Exxon can have more money. It's all one. You can see this. You can see this. Christian people, see and fear not. See and fear not. Put on the whole armor of God, writes the apostle. Face the ancient facts. Empire and domination have always ruled through injustice. Never will the threat just end and go away. It isn't like that. We're not pure like that. Empire knows further that it must give the people enough of the people, little packets of pleasures they come to think they cannot do without, in order to keep the system oiled. And yet, in the midst of empire and domination, Jesus walked and died and rose again to bring news that you must not fear. What news is it? Is the news that you personally get to go on living forever? You know, if you have the courage to remember when you last cursed a person or disdained a person with your own lips, isn't it a wonder to wonder what it would be like to live with yourself for zillions of years, unchanged? There's no promise of life unchanged for anybody. No, the promise is that everything must change, especially the church must change. Churches, the actual practical organizations of churches, must change. So in the not distant future, suddenly global warming comes right inside the promise of the gospel. Yes, all things must change. Food and energy, let's just leave it at that. And I'm not exploring these in detail today. We'll keep our words short. Food and energy must soon be coming to us, not through centralized systems that enable people to amass great wealth, but through decentralized systems. There's good news here. Decentralized systems, widely distributed across the whole earth, like the rays of the sun, are widely distributed across the whole earth and free. Local food, renewable sources of power will no longer permit magnates to amass great wealth, but nobody needs great wealth. Literally, no human being on earth needs the kind of wealth that the West has come to give away to a few. What must come instead is resiliency, flexibility, connection, love, community, support, energy for one another. Sabbath. Now, someone in the room no doubt thinks the pastor's gone off on some old summer of love fantasy. And I'm old enough to have done, but I'm not interested in that at all. No, I mean something quite different from utopian visions of how we're going to get on to peace. The trajectory that the Western worlds, and now China is fully on the trajectory, so the trajectory of the industrialized world is going to break the world economy if it is not changed. That's how sober the news is. It's so immense, of course, that one might wonder, why do we spend our time talking about how evil empire and domination are? They've always been evil. Let's talk about things that are more effective than trouble over how they behave. This system cannot survive. Read the news. It cannot survive. And therefore, how the current empire comes to the conclusion of its domination matters ultimately in moral terms. It is of first importance because the methods are really widely different. One is through devastation, through wars of scarcity and domination, wars over croplands and droughts. It's a hideous image of empires struggling, fracking the foundations of the earth to grab every last drop of fossil fuel like blood from stones. Or there's an alternative. That humans take this challenge as a test to bring civilization to a new level of consciousness. Widely distributed energies of love and money across more and more peoples as we discover how to let go of privileges if we have them, how to invite the least and the lost, the anavim, the meek. Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Are you ready to help? You can visit a website called frontporchforum.com, frontporchforum.com, all one word, to see how community has come alive in the city of Burlington, Vermont, where small groups, 4 and 8 blocks of the city, are using the internet to help one another, to find out about one another, just little blocks. And while you're visiting there, begin to wonder, well, wait a minute, couldn't our church use the web to learn about one another's needs and hopes? Couldn't we intensify our resiliency, our community, our effective love for one another? This would be important. But I would leave you with this. A Christian community cannot become a beloved community isolated, a little island of beauty in the midst of a sea of wanton destruction and damage. We're all too weak for that. So we Christians need a different conception of what it is we're doing in a church. This isn't about solving everything. This is about showing up as a parable of the holy city coming down from heaven for God. The purpose of the local church is to be a parable of the love of God, and for its members so to live parabolically, that is to say, as if nothing were literally true, nothing were so important that you actually thought it was worth getting angry over. Unless you're defending the justice of the least or the lost, all anger in a church is misplaced. The energy's wasted, wasted, utterly wasted. For love is the purpose, drawing forth a parable of God's holy city, already waiting to show up on earth. We are called to live as a parable, the body of Christ. We have a laboratory here in which to act. We have the tools. I'm not saying we're using them all that well, but we have the tools. We have the cross. The cross, the perfect symbol of voluntary relinquishment of what I have so that you can thrive. Let us live into the parable that we have been given by our risen Lord. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste, test yourselves, cross yourselves, become a cross for the world. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Don't fly away in denial. Don't fear. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't suppose that only Montana and Vermont are going to have a chance at the future. No, Jesus says, stay in the city. And I say, stay in the city. The city is God's gift to humanity. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high to take the message of beloved community, the parable of God's holy city, out into this world, which is crying to become whole. Amen.